All right, Shabbos, a good chaydish, an incredible Shabbos Baruch Hashem to begin the new month, a little bit of Talmud Torah together. So I'm actually really excited about this because now we're about to really begin a very exciting sugya of Borer, a Borer. So again, to those of you who are in Smichas Chavar, we covered some of Borer. Actually, it was in consultation with my esteemed colleague, Ari Lichterman. So I'm gonna actually try to sidestep some of the things that we did in, not sidestep, some of the things we did in Smichas Chavar, which I guess maybe a little bit more on the technical side, gonna really veer a little bit more to the Halacha Lamaisa side in all of this. But tonight, we're gonna try to get a little bit of a panoramic view of the Melacha Borer. We're gonna end up probably spending a couple of weeks on this. Let's begin, again, everything begins with the Mishnah. Source number one. Avos Melachos Arba'im Chasra Achos. I will say, so again, I always enjoy doing this Mishnah because as we continue on Hilchos Shabbos, we get to see how much we've accomplished. So Zorea, done. Choresh, done. Kotzer, done. Ma'amer, done. Dosh, done. Zora, done. Baruch Hashem. Pretty good. And now, you're like, what is he talking about? We did those, right? No. So now we'll say Borer. So we'll say, remember again, when it comes to Borer, so already the Shaila we already began to discuss by Dosh is the Shaila of the Gemara, where number one, the Gemara says, Hazora HaBorer VaHatochin VaMerakid, Hainu Zora, Hainu Borer, Hainu Merakid. So we'll say, so remember again, the general Kasha that we had when it comes to these particular Malachas is they're all the same. Right? In other words, that they all just seem to be removing one thing from another. So again, as we've gone through in these Malachas, we have begun to see that really there are nuanced differences in them. So for example, again, on both sides, Dosh itself really was much more not a Malacha of separation, but much more a Malacha of detaching. Detaching. So now again, we saw Dosh, we saw Mefarik, and now again, we come to Borer. So let's analyze a little bit. So remember again, Bosai, where was Borer? So we know this really. Where was Borer done on the Mishkan? So Borer was done on the Mishkan either again in the production of the herbs and the dyes for the Mishkan or in the production of the Lechem Haponim, the showbread, actually going ahead and separating out the wheat from the chaff. So remember again, Bosai, now you can also begin to really see how, again, the different processes of separation. So you have Dosh, which is threshing, Zora, which is, I think we translate it as winnowing, right? Throwing up to the wind, so allowing the wind. And then Borer, I will say. So again, here's what's interesting. Even after threshing, and even after winnowing, you still have some level of impurities that are mixed in. So Borer is the final step to remove any last vestige of impurities in order to be able to wind up with what we call ochel, in this case, again, in the case of the Mishnah, either the herbs or ultimately, again, the kernels of grain. So I will say, so what I want to begin with tonight is actually the introduction of the Mishnah Berura to this halacha, because this is an incredibly important introduction. So it's on page 4 on your sheet. Page 4. So here I will say the Mishnah Berura says, and I underlined it for you, he says as follows. He says, Va'aktim lezeh hasemi, you see in the Mishnah Berura, the underlined lines. So it's actually interesting. He says over here, we can actually start from the beginning of that paragraph. He says, last paragraph on page in the Mishnah Berura page, actually just start from the underlying lines. Let me give you a little bit of a brief introduction to this malacha. And I will say this introduction is going to be incredibly helpful. It's not really that brief, but it's incredibly helpful. He says as follows, Vahu, Ein chal iser bora min ha-Torah, ki im be'echad mishlosha ofanim, Sha'az derech bereira he came b'chol. So we'll say, so remember again, how does malacha work? Malacha works is, if you do something, a manner of labor, in the way it was done in the Mishkan, then one is chayy for doing so on Shabbos. So I just want to point out what's going to happen over here. So the Mishnah Berura is going to outline to us how Borer was done. Right? So now again, this is how Borer, so in other words, this is how Borer was done. And therefore again, on Shabbos, obviously I'm going to have to avoid this. So watch this. He says to us, Aleph, in borer psolus min ha'ochel, afilu borer biyado v'dayto lechom yad gam kein chayiv, shezeh derech berira b'chol, liver ha'psolus min ha'ochel. So we'll say, so number one, how is borer done? Borer is done by removing the impurities and leaving behind the ochel. So again, just so we get our terms correct, so psolus is going to refer to the stuff you don't want, ochel is going to refer to the stuff you do want. The process of Borer, so we'll say, so again, just so you don't get confused. The Mishnah Berura is describing to us how Borer was done. So how was Borer done in the Mishkan? How is Borer done in general? You remove the impurities, You remove the impurities. So just think about this for just a moment. Imagine for a moment you have the grain, you have the kernels mixed in with the chaff, and you have a sifter or a sieve. So what happens? What happens when you sift and you sieve? The impurities remain on top, right? And the psolas, and the ochel goes through. So the act of borer itself is the act of actively removing the impurities. So we'll say, so again, therefore we're going to see that when it comes to Shabbos, Hilchos Shabbos, you can't separate out in any way of the actively separating out the impurities. Okay, so that's Aleph. Next, Beis. Imhu borer b'kli shederach lifar ba kigon b'nafa b'kavra. Chayiv afilu borer ha'ochal min ha'psol sadai to lechom yad. Shekein derach ha'borer b'kli. We'll say furthermore, borer, you can turn out to page 5, borer is normally done with a utensil. Right? That's how borer is done. Borer is done by b'kli. So therefore, again, I'll say, under no circumstances on Shabbos are you going to be able to use a kli for any type of separation. Okay? Fine. Skip down a little bit. Fine. Gimel. Afilo imhu borer ocha min apsoles ubiyado. And we'll say, so the last piece, ultimately is that what? Ach shedaito lecho la'achar zman chayi. Now, both of these are very important. The malacha of borer was done. I'll say, when you were doing borer, when you were separating, what was your goal? What were you doing with the food? What were you doing for the food? Or what were you doing with the ochal? What we call it, the stuff that you are, imagine, right? You're taking grain, right? You're putting it in a sifter and a sieve. So you go ahead, you have a kli, you're removing the impurities. And now again, on some receptacle on the bottom, you have the grain. What are you doing with that grain? Right? You're putting it away. In other words, we'll say it wasn't for immediate use. The whole idea, because remember again, generally you're putting grain in the silo, right? You're putting grain away for storage. Storing it. So therefore, again, the act of borer usually was not a malacha done for immediate use. In other words, I wasn't using the quote-unquote ochel. The ochel was being put away for future use. Seir Rabbah say, we see that essentially, there are three aspects to the malacha of borer. The malacha itself, the act of borer. Number one, it's the act of removing of the impurities, the psolas. Number two, it's done with the utensil. And number three, it's not done for immediate use. Ultimately, again, whatever the ochel is put aside for later on. So we'll say, the reason why this is important is ultimately, again, because remember, we now flip this around. So therefore, in order for an act not to be borer on Shabbos, right, it has to be the exact opposite of the malacha of borer. So therefore, if the definition of the malacha is removing psoles and leaving behind ochel, and utilizing a utensil and putting it away for later on. So therefore, the only way to do an act of separation on Shabbos is if it is the polar opposite of the malacha. Namely, so how do you do bar on Shabbos? Number one, you're removing ochel, right? I'm removing the good and leaving behind the bad. Number two, biyad. I'm doing it with my hand, not with a utensil. And number three, miyad. It's for immediate use. So therefore, again, halacha l'maisa. So I'll say, so just to understand that construct, we're going to get the definition. What is the definition of hand? We're going to get to that in just a little bit. So I'll say, so that's just our framework, right? So the malacha itself, one more time, malacha itself is the malacha. The way you would do borer on a Tuesday is remove the psoles, use the utensil, put it away for later use. Therefore, again, if you do that on Shabbos, you are in violation of biblical malacha. So how can you do an act of separation on Shabbos if it's the polar opposite of borer? Number one, ochel mitoch psoles, you're removing food. Number two, you're not using a utensil, you're using your quote-unquote hand, what that evidence is, we'll see in just a moment. And number three, it's not for later use, it's for immediate use, what we call miyad. Good.
All three components must be opposite, or just one of them?
Oh, so bepashtos, it needs to be all three components are the opposite. Because in other words, missing of one will still put you at a dirabanan, right? Opposite of all three makes the act mutter. It's not the pshat that you could have, as long as you're not doing one of the three, you have to have the opposite of all three in order for the act of separating to be mutter on Shabbos. Okay, so we'll say, so now that's our intellectual construct. Now, of course, the complicated part is going to be kind of plugging this into some lamaisa cases, and we're going to see some fascinating machlokes over here. So take a quick look. The first thing the Shulchan Aruch discusses, and again, this is on page four in your packet. He says over here, the Shulchan Aruch writes. Shulchan Aruch is on top. I underline the aleph there on page four. Habor olchem mitoch psoles Osha ha'ir l'fanav shnei mini acholim. So we have a lot to define over here. Uborer min mimin acher. Benafa ubekavra chayiv. Bekanan ubetamchoi patra aval aser. So we'll say, we're not going to spend time getting into the different utensils, but just suffice it to say, nafa and kavra are type of sifters. Using a sifter on Shabbos is a malacha d'orais, a biblical prohibition. Using a funnel type device will only be a malacha d'rabbanan. Like I said, we're not going to get into this right now, but what I want to draw your attention to is on page 5, the underlined line on top, v'imbirer biyado kedei le'echol la'altar mutter. But if you go ahead and you use your hand to effect an act of bor, of separation, then that is going to be mutter. Okay. So like Steve asked before, so what's the definition of using my hand, right? What, like in other words, how far does it literally mean my hand? Does it refer to a fork, a knife, a spoon? So here we're going to see a very interesting machlokas. Take a look at number 9. Number six. Reb Moshe Feinstein. So Reb Moshe writes as follows. Listen to this. He says, Imkein, source number 6. Vimkein, Af betamchui, Shapire Shrashi Bebea Dafir Be Shukara Gidola, Nami Hu Ba'ofen. So we'll say, see, here's what's interesting. So Reb Moshe talks about over here a tamchui. Now remember again, in the Shulchan Aruch's wording, a tamchui is a utensil that is only, quote unquote, in Isra D'Rabbanan. Now we'll say, what's a tamchui? Tamchui essentially is a big plate. It's a big plate, right? So what do? You dump everything on the plate, and because it's so big, you have the ability just to kind of shift things around. So because of the chaff and the wheat, the impurities are not the same weight, so automatically different things will gravitate to different areas. So as opposed to, let's say, a sifter, which is an actual like device that separates out, the tamchui is just like a big plate. So listen to this. So Reb Moshe says something very interesting. He says, "Hu ba'ofen sha'al yid." So we'll say, you would think to yourself, at first glance, so why is a tamchui aser? It's just a big plate. So why is us? And it's very important. He says, Shaydeh ka'ara, we'll say source number 6, third line, the underlying line. Shaydeh ka'ara, misparer biyoser kalos, ayideh ha'espashtos ba'kara. So Moshe says like this, the tamchui, the reason why the usage of the tamchui is considered to be a kli is because it makes the act of separation easier. So what Reb Moshe introduces to us is, it goes without saying that a utensil that actively separates, like a sifter or a sieve, obviously that is going to be problematic on Shabbos. But even a utensil that doesn't actively separate, but facilitates separation, like the tamchui, like the big plate, is also going to be problematic on Shabbos. That's Reb Moshe. Now watch this. V'nifrad ha'ochel me'apsolas u Rav Moshe says, not only is the utensil which actively separates ochel from psoles, or psoles from ochel, problematic on Shabbos, but even a utensil which enables and facilitates and makes the act of separation easier is also going to be problematic on Shabbos. Okay, now watch this. Second paragraph, source number 6. Ubidavar bora b'shabbos le'echol la'alter mitoch le'echol la'alter ochel mitoch psoles al yidei mazleg v'kaf im nechshav borer b'kli sha'aser. So here's the shayla. Rav Moshe says, are you allowed to use a fork on Shabbos? Now, what does that mean? So remember again, technically speaking, what is a fork? Right? So we'll say, this is not such a pasha question, because the definition of a fork is depends how you're using it or what you're using it for. Mm-hmm. And we'll say now, on one hand, a fork could definitely be something that enables separating items. In other words, I go ahead, and if I want to separate something, I could put my fork into something, pull it out of the mixture, and thereby separate it. So Reb Moshe says, so what do you do with the fork? So what is this? And he is a fork, a spoon. What do you do with these utensils on Shabbos? So also listen to this. He says, Hine, Pashat Le'anias Daiti, Dim Al Yideh HaMazlek Va'akaf, Nivrar B'neka Mibiyado, Shenimtsa Shemesayim L'maysa Breira, Yesh La'achshiv Ze Borer B'kli, V'yesh Lesser Kimo B'kano V'tamchoy. Reb Moshe says, if your kavano, when you are using the fork or the spoon, is to use them as a way of making the act of separation easier, then Moshe says that's Asur on Shabbos. That's aser. That, in other words, so emotionally, it's dependent on what your kavana is. Is your kavana that, you know what, instead of going ahead and using my hand to separate out things, I'm just going to take a fork, use that to act, to facilitate separation, and take out an item like that. Then that is borer b'kli. We'll see. Now remember again, as Ramat said before, in order for an act of borer to be mutar on Shabbos, which is an oxymoron, because an act of borer is never mutar on Shabbos, what it means is in order for an act of separation not to be halachically categorized as borer, it has to conform to all three criteria. Number one, ochal mitoch psoles, food, right? The stuff that you want from the stuff that you don't want. I'm sorry? Psoles toch ochal is borer. In order for it not to be borer on Shabbos, right? In order for it to be mutar on Shabbos, ochal mitoch psoles, right? Biyad, no kli, and miyad, for immediate use. So Rav Moshe says like this, even if you're going ahead and taking ochal mitoch psoles, but your kavana with the fork is, you know what, this makes it easier for me to separate, then that is considered to be borer b'kli, and it's going to be aser. It's going to be aser. He says, on the other hand, aval, imein osin la'avricha klum, yosemi b'yado, ala mach mashen arotza lalach leich yado, o mach mas shu meruchak v'yin yochal la'agia sham b'yado, o mach mas shu davar lach, v'yin yochal likach b'yado kidomeh. But Moshe says, however, if your kavana with the fork is either A, the fork is just an extension of my hand, or I don't want to get my hands dirty, so I'm using a fork. So in other words, the fork is just acting as an extension of me, it's not a problem. So both say, this is really an incredible, incredible idea, because what Moshe is saying is, essentially, every single utensil has to be analyzed. And again, if it's just being used because it creates ease of use, right, or cleanliness, then that's fine. But if my kavana, even with using a regular, you know, food utensil, meal utensils, is to facilitate an act of separation, then halacha lamaisa is going to be problematic. And I will say, I think it's safe to say that most people use a fork as an extension of their hand, right? But again, and Ramosha itself seems to also acknowledge that that's a possibility. But should you have a scenario where it's clear that you're using the fork as a way of affecting an easier act of separation, Rav Moshe posits that the use of the fork would be aser. Now, that's Rav Moshe. Take a look at number 7. So in the Sefer Orcho Shabbos, the Mechab writes this house, and I will say, this, you're going to see, by the way, this machlokes is going to have, you know, sweeping ramifications in a couple of very interesting cases. So look at number 7. He says, V'ulai, Ef Shalomar, D'chevan, Shishoresh ha'isr shal breira b'kli, humishum sha'kli nosein l'ma'aseu chashivus molacha. So we'll say, so remember, so now the Archos Shabbos writes like this. He says, in general, right, ultimately, why can't you do borer b'kli, right? Why can't you use utensil? Ultimately, again, because the utensil almost endows the act of separating with a heightened level of chashivus, right? A heightened level of importance. Now watch this. Lochein, lo rak kli ha-meseyeya be'etzem ha-breira chashev kli la-breira, ela kol kli sh'regilim ne'eshtamish po bizman melechas ha-breira, nosein l'maisa chashivus. The Archo Shabbos says, in order for a kli to be called a borer kli, it has to be something specialized that's utilized dafka for this purpose. He goes on, he says, So, for example, take a look at the examples Shulchan Aruch brings down, right? You have the naf and the kavur, the sifter and the sieve. You have, again, kanan and tamchui, the large plate and the funnel. So these are things that, by definition, are set aside for the act of separating. Now watch this. He says, however, Shagam beklishim say lebreira lo yehe isra bereira bekli einzen notel amaisa shlo. I'm sorry. Ulufize hayamakom ladun dehua din ipcha. Shagam beklishim say lebreira lo yehe isra bereira bekli im ein la nosin lamaisa shlo tarve chashivus molacha. I will say, but a utensil that is not uniquely identified as a separating utensil, but rather, again, is clearly identified as a utensil that is part of eating, never has the status of kli when it comes to borer. So, see what's happening over here? So, what the Archos Shabbos is saying is like this. The definition of a kli for borer purposes is not simply something that could help affect selection, but rather, again, it's a kli that is dafka miyuchad, a kli that is set aside, right? A kli that is identifiable as a kli used to create separation, to affect borer. But if you have a kli, a utensil, that is clearly associated with just with the act of eating, that even if technically used in a separating capacity, that does not make it borer the kli. So I will say, nothing. It's not part of a kli. It's nothing. So we'll say, let's just use the fork as the example. Rav Moshe says, this is very interesting. Rav Moshe says, the definition of a kli for borer purposes has nothing to do with the identity of the kli itself. Rather, what is it all about? How you use it. Your intentions and how you use it. So therefore, again, even something which is clearly what we'll call kli achila, utensils used for consumption, a fork, if your kavana is to use that fork to facilitate an act of separation, that is borer b'kli. Archos Shabbos says, absolutely not. The definition of a kli for borer purposes is a kli that is designated. In other words, both like his lashon over here is something very interesting. His lashon over here is that when you use a specified utensil for separation purposes, for separating, that endows the maisa with the identity of an act of borer. As opposed to when using flatware, right? When using something that's for consumption, that's not borer, that's called derech achila. That's called the manner of consumption, and therefore, again, that's not borer. So we'll say, there's more to say in this paragraph, but we're going to pause it here for just a moment. So we'll say, you saw this in machlokes. Probably one of the biggest machlokesim when it comes to borer, and the repercussions and ramifications of this are incredibly far-reaching. So pause here for just a moment, then we're going to loop back down just a moment. Yes?
I just read ahead a little bit. It doesn't seem like he is arguing with Rav Moshe. He's bringing a source, the Chazon
Ish. Right, we'll come back to the Chazon Ish in just a little bit.
It's not his own.
Right, correct. Again, we're not worrying about right now about who has the right to argue on Rav Moshe or not like that. Like, I'm not worried about the Klalei HaPsak right now. Right, I just want to show you that this fundamental machlokes does exist in how you define borer b'kli. Rav Avadya, number 8.
Isn't Rav Moshe the finish here? Meaning,
tremendous.
What I'm saying is that you define the act that is being done. Is it an act of separating or is it an act of eating? When you eat with a fork, that's an act of eating, not an act of...
Because I'll tell you why. Because you could have things that look like an act of eating but are still borer. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. You know, going ahead and eating a piece of meat, and purposely cutting away the fat. So that will be borer. That will be borer, right? But yet, if somebody were to look at you and ask, what is it that you're trying to do? What would they answer? That's not what he's saying. No, what he's saying is like that. Again, if your kavana is to eat, your kavana is to eat. But if your kavana is to utilize the fork as a mechanism of affecting selection, then that's problematic. So I would understand, according to Ramosha, 9 out of 10 times, the fork's not going to be a kli for borer. But in that time where you're intentionally looking to separate one item from another, then enachinami, that could be a problem. So it's not a din in the act, it's a din really in your kavana and how you're utilizing the kli. So Rav Moshe says, really, it's all about your kavana, and your kavana makes the kli into a kli of borer or not. The Archos Shabbos says, no, we look at the kli. And if something, is clearly just part of regular consumption, you can't call that borer of a kli. Take a look at number 8, Rav Avadya. He says, Ula Indian Dina, Nira Diesh Lahakya Liver Ochem Mitoch Psalas La Altar, Bekaf, Ubemazleg, Gam b'shehem misayim le'etzem habreira. So Rav Avadya paskins like the Archos Shabbos. Rav Avadya says, no, you can. There's no borer. There's no borer with a fork, or there's no borer with a. There's no borer with a spoon. He says, why? Is Zebo say so? Look at the footnote over here. He quotes over here. He says, "Disham akelim omdim lebreira. Disham akelim lebreira. Aval kaf umazleik enam kelim haomdim livor bahem." So we'll say so again. Rav Avadya seems to side with the Archos Shabbos. Again, we're going to see the Chazon Ish. We'll get up to the Chazon Ish in just a little bit as well. But that's the idea that these are not utensils. that are made for borer, and therefore halacha lemaisa stam usage of them. Stam usage of them. I'm about to say, just I want to be clear. This is not to say that a fork can't be potentially transformed into a kli used for borer. That could happen. We'll talk about cases. But in a stam case, so you have the Archo Shabbos Rav Adya saying, is that definition of borer b'kli means utilizing a kli whose inherent identity is one that affects separation. But a kli whose inherent identity is really just to facilitate consumption, even though there is an act of separation that by definition is occurring. I will say, this is what Zidijo was saying, every single time you eat, you're effectively making an act of, right? You're engaging in an act of selection. I'm taking this piece and not the other pieces, right? Or I'm taking this right now and not something else, right? So lemaisa again, but that's not called borer. What is that called? Achila. It's called achila. It's called consumption. And therefore, aloha lemaisa, not a problem. So we'll say, so let me give you some other examples of this, which are really quite interesting over here. So I apologize. I thought these were going to be printed in color. Would have been a little bit better in color. But I will say, if you look at Roman numeral number 3, so there's some interesting examples over here. So I will say, so that picture, which didn't come out as clearly as I would have liked it to, is imagine this is a tea pitcher. So on the bottom you have tea leaves, right? And in it you have tea. And if you notice, like by the spout, you can't see it over here. Actually, you can see it a little bit. By the spout, there's essentially like a filter, a filter strainer. Right? So we'll say, so the shaila is, can you use something like this on Shabbos itself? Would it be mutter to go ahead and use this on Shabbos? So we'll say, so let's just be mavar a little bit. So first of all, like in the picture over here, I don't know if you can see it, you know, the leaves are all on the bottom. So the cake's leaves are on the bottom, that's fine. Right? Nothing's going to happen over there. The question that comes up is what happens halacha lemaisa when it's all mixed up together? So obviously, and also what's happening over here is when I pour the tea, ultimately, again, the liquid's coming out, but the leaves are being kept back in. So is this mutter or not? So I'm also say, interestingly enough, take a look at number 9. Actually, before number 9, go back up to number 7 for just a moment. So I'm also say, if you look at number 7, right after the first set of, right after the first two sets of underlying lines, between the two, right? Yeah, okay. Ve'efshar, shezoi kavanas ha-chazonish, b'simen nun gimel, shedan lahatir lehishtamish b'tiyun, sheyesh bo misnenes, hama'akeves es ha'olim milates. The chazonish will say, you ready for this? This just blew my mind. The chazonish said, you're allowed to use it. Yeah. You're allowed to use that tea pitcher. It has the filter. Strainer. Right thing, right, mamish on the spot. You're allowed to use it. Why? V'zeleshono. Kevan she'ein kan shimush bekavra mamish, af sheyesh bifnim ke'ein reshes la'akev olim, mikomokom yishomer delo havi rak kedin brera biyad ad kan l'shono. So the Chazanish said, this is not called a utensil for borer. This is not called a borer utensil. It's not what it's called. I'll say, what would the Chazanish call it? So what is it called? It's a pitcher. That's what it is. It's just a picture. He says, "V'rabim niskashu b'dvarim elu shari yesh kam esnanes mamish." So we'll say. So he writes it with Ocho Shabbos. Many people are very troubled by this chazanish because what do you mean? It's not a kli for borer. It has a strainer on it. Like literally, I just want to point out, strainer is nafan kavra, right? Those utensils are an isur d'oraisa. So how could the chazanish say that this is not borer b'kli? So look what he writes. He says, Ula amar yishlomar. So now the Archon Shabbos says it makes sense because of what we said before. The osa misnenes, ein dai ba loses chashivus molocha le'iruja saltantis. So what the chazanish is saying is like this, that when we look at the concept of borer b'kli doesn't simply mean affecting an act of separation with a utensil. Rather, what does it mean? It means affecting an act of separation with a utensil that is designated for the purpose of affecting separation. But the Chazanish would say, in this case, even though the pitcher has the strainer, the primary function of this kli is as a pitcher, not as a strainer. Therefore, by definition, its primary identity is pitcher. Because its primary identity is pitcher, therefore, again, that's how we view it. It has a strainer. Got it. But that's not the primary functionality of the kli, and therefore halacha lemaisa, it's not called borer b'kli. Ula amar yishlomar So therefore we'll say it's a pitcher. And because it's a pitcher, the presence of the strainer does not make it into a utensil that is used for bara purposes. Ella called tsurasa hi tsuras natila lachila. Rather, we'll say, well, we just simply look at this is a utensil that is used for consumption. Then I will say, now, by the way, this is a much bigger chiddush than a fork, right? I'm just saying, like, you know, a fork by definition. Now, it is, but it's not. It is, but it's not. I will say, because the truth is, what does a fork do? What does a fork do? It's separate. In other words, I will say, if you think about it, in other words, you could just take your plate and just empty it into your mouth, right? Right. So obviously, again, the use of a fork means I'm taking some stuff now and leaving other stuff behind. So to a certain degree, you have that in a fork as well. And what the Archos Shabbos, the Chazon Ish is saying is the definition of borer bekli means a utensil that not only affects selection, but is dafka designated to affect selection. So therefore, even the pitcher with the strainer is primarily a pitcher, and therefore not a problem to pour tea. I will say, now obviously, who's going to argue on this? Who's going to argue on this? Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe would say this, Rav Moshe might actually say that it's an Issur D'oraisa. Which would actually be like pretty wild. And it's not. Now the truth is, it's not. Maybe a potential Issur D'oraisa. So we'll say. So again, Rav Moshe would say for Rav Moshe, this isn't even a shayla, right? A fork is a shayla because a fork could be used in different ways, but a pitcher with a strainer on the end of it is absolutely a kli that is used for bora. Yes.
But that would only be engaged when the tea leaves are near the strainer spout.
If they're mixed together, correct. Right. If the leaves settled on the bottom,
so you're only pouring off the liquid. You haven't yet.
Rav Moshe would also say that it's mutter, correct? Because there's no mixture. Remember, we're going to get to this, but borer requires a mixture. So if the leaves are settled on the bottom and the liquid essentially is on top, and I can pour off the liquid without even touching the leaves, I don't have a mixture. So everyone would agree that works. That's why, again, the only shayla comes up is if everything is mixed together. So I will say, so take a look at number nine. Take a look at number nine. So again, just read this in Shmir Shabbos. So he says, Sham b'shulchan aruch v'shamati v'agam shabbos on arbach zatzal tekliya miyuchad livror letzorech midi bilvad efshar de'eno b'chlal ha'isra livror b'kli. He says, now, it's interesting. He quotes something different over here that he says that a utensil that is made, that is designated to separate, but the way it works is it's only utilized for immediate use. Rav Shlomo Zalman posits that that's not bichlal, it's not in the category of borer bikli. And I will say that this is something different. This is something different. Remember again, this goes back to what we saw before, right? Remember again, the definition of the malacha of borer is you're separating out stuff, and why are you separating out the ochal? Or what, right? Why do you want it? Storage. So he quotes over Rav Shlomo Zalman, who says that maybe a utensil that does separate, but it only separates out for immediate use, that's not called borer bikli. That's not called separating with the utensil. So this is different. So we'll say, so essentially now we have like three different opinions. We have Rav Moshe, who essentially says, we look at the utensil based on how you're going to use it. And therefore, no question that with the tea pitcher, with the sieve, with the strainer on the spout, it's going to be usher. Archo Shabbos, Chazon Ish, no. We look at what is the primary use of the utensil. It's a pitcher. It's a pitcher. So because it's a pitcher, and because it's not a utensil that is actively set aside for separating, therefore, Allah says it's not borer b'kli. Rav Shlomo Zalman agrees. It's not borer b'kli, but why? Because any kli that's only used to separate for immediate use is not called borer b'kli. All right, interesting idea. He says, v'lachein, just finishing up number nine, v'lachein, mutra lishpoch tamsis te derech misnenes sheve piyach tiun. Therefore, you can go ahead and pour out the tea, even though, again, you're pouring through the, I keep on forgetting the word, strainer. Thank you. Right? Okay, so we're going to come back to this about taking out a tea bag. We're going to leave that in Meir Hashem for next week a little bit more. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says this is called derech achila. This is called just a normative act of consumption, and therefore halacha lemaisa, it is not a problem. Now, along these same lines, it's actually interesting. He quotes over here. Look in the second paragraph. Who adin the lefize yesh lahatir leshahatir hashimush b'melicha sheyesh ba gargire orez. So then you have a salt shaker, and people sometimes put rice in the salt shaker to absorb the moisture. So what's the problem? The problem is every single time I take salt, right, the shaker, right, the top of the shaker is essentially holding in the rice and allowing the salt out. Well, isn't that considered? Isn't that borer? So it quotes over here that halacha lemaisa, that would not be a problem. Why? Derech achila. This is considered to be just the way that people eat. It's a normative act of consumption, and derech achila, therefore, only is going to be mutter. I was going to want this. So therefore, both say what comes out of it is something really interesting. So, like, if you put all these cases together, the fork. If my intention is to use it to affect an act of separation, Rav Moshe Aser, Chazanish, Rav Avadj, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Mutter. Kettle with, right, not kettle, but pitcher with the strainer on the spout. So Rav Moshe Aser, and ultimately Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, the Chazanish, Archo Shabbos, Rav Avadj, will be Mutter. Salt shaker with rice in it. Once again, Rav Moshe would say Aser. Moshe would say Aser, but Halach Lamaisa, everyone else is going to say Mutter. So I'll share with you one other quick case, and then we'll stop for tonight. Take a look at number 10. Another interesting case where this comes up, and again, the pictures. So number 10, that's a pitcher. No strainer, but a small spout. So Rabbi says, so can you go ahead and use a pitcher with a small spout if, let's say, you have ice or other stuff floating in that pitcher? I don't know, like you can see in the picture, we have pieces of sliced fruit. Right, so now halacha lemaisa, essentially the lip, the spout, is smaller. So, and obviously, why is it smaller? It's designed to hold stuff back. So, can you use that on Shabbos? So, the Archo Shabbos, right? So, number 10. They both say, you could script this. Are you allowed to use it? It's machlokes. Or Moshe is going to say, absolutely not. And everyone else is going to say, yes, because it's derech achila. So you begin to see. That's why I said this is probably one of the most yesodistic machloks in all of Hilchos Borer that is going to follow us the entire way through. So just take a look at number 10. He says, Kankan, Shehi Sheyesh Machaseu, Resha Samu Edes Lesinanas Amashka, Milubios Akerach, Shebisocho. So he actually sounds like over here is talking about like some type of sivoso netting. Now he's talking about over here, but it could just be like a smaller lip that doesn't allow the ice cubes out. So we'll say again, same achlokes. Here's interesting, just an interesting fact. Amnam, afladasa osim in lesser ella, bemasav shekubios hakerach, mugdaros bemuravos bemayim. Ach kozman shen gidolos, vinikaros heitev, mistaber sheinza begedetarovos. Listen to this, very interesting. So he says, right, interestingly enough, the only time it's problematic, by the way, is if you have small ice cubes. Right, small pieces of ice. So small pieces of ice, that's a mixture with the liquid, and then again the shy, like crushed ice, or even just smaller cubes. But here's what's interesting. If you have large cubes of ice, everyone will agree that it's mutter, right? Why? Because halacha lemaisa, it's not a mixture. We'll say, now we didn't get to this yet, but what we're going to see, this is going to open the door to a very interesting discussion about what is the halachic definition of a mixture? And if you have items that are clearly discernible, but mixed within another, is that a mixture or not? So it's interesting, the Aruch HaShabbos says, large ice cubes, large identifiable ice cubes in a liquid is not called a mixture since they are large and identifiable. All right, so we'll stop over here for tonight. I think at least Baruch Hashem, we got our intellectual framework down. We got the definition of our melacha. We got the solistic machlokes in terms of the definition of Bora B'Kli. And Mir Hashem to be continued next week. Amud Yomi begins. Mir Hashem in 3 minutes. Shkoyach.
So that would be all crosses for the Rav Moshe if you have big ice cubes without a mixture for the Rav Moshe.
Yeah, because then it has nothing to do with Kli anymore. It has to do with mixture. Correct. Correct.
It's not really a Kli that's equal with Kli.